This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
I want to let you know about a podcast coming out of Las Vegas with three gifted performers, Matt Donnelly, Paul Mattingly, and Jacob Smith. Matt and Mattingly's Ice Cream Social is a totally fun ride with insider looks at our entertainment scene. Today on CityCast Las Vegas, we're going to play an episode from their podcast where I'm the one who lands in their comedy churn, and while I was there, I even got to score my dream interview with Nicolas Cage. But maybe it was just a dream. To hear the full episode, head on over to heyscoops.com. It's Saturday, December 16th. I'm David Figler, and here's what Las Vegas is talking about.
It's that time of the show. This is the time of the show where we thank the ice cream truck drivers. Thank you, ice cream truck drivers. We don't have a new list yet because it's the first of the month, but I'd like to send a special thank you out to all the people who are the ice cream truck drivers over at PreachingFun.com. PreachingFun.com, that is where you can go to sign up to be an ice cream truck driver. Who knows? The life you save may be your own.
Probably be your own.
I meant
the first life you'd save would be your own.
Gotta save your own first.
Like, even if on the airplane, they tell you to put the thing over your head, your face first.
And then kick the child.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you don't want that child breathing then, that precious, precious oxygen.
You get yourself, and then you wrap the second mask around the dead child.
Did you want to go to an ice cream social?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Because that gets rid of the liability.
Let's go.
That's right. I was following directions.
Truth is, once those masks are down, kiss your ass goodbye time.
That's it. We don't know if anyone's successful put a mask on themselves first.
No, right. You never will.
I've had those masks fall.
Never for a good reason. It's time for Matt Mattingly's Ice Cream Social. Sitting across from me in Pittsburgh is Paul Mattingly.
Across from me in Vegas, that's Mr. Matt Donnelly.
And over there, the knobs and dials, Jacob the audio guy.
Oh, I love that guy. We're preaching fun.
With us in the churn today, a haughty-taughty journalist about town.
Yes.
David Figler from CityCast Las Vegas is here.
Hey, that's the first time anyone's ever called me a journalist, so I'm going to cherish that.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Tell everyone, now Christmas is coming back. I've been called the journalist at least once.
And I'm going to wear it. It's my pride badge.
So CityCast, how long have you... Because CityCast is new to this city.
Yeah, CityCast Las Vegas is a network of locally produced local content podcast daily. Mm-hmm. Las Vegas went online soft in... April of 2022, we went daily in July of 2022. So we're about a year and a half in. We're about to hit our 400th episode.
Nice.
That's pretty exciting.
Well, yeah. I mean, you guys are well over 1,000, so you know what that's like.
Well, those 400 days are the best.
That first 400.
That's the honeymoon phase.
We love that 400 phase. Some of our best work is done.
We've been slogging through ever since.
We're still climbing that hill. But yeah, no, so we've been doing that for a while. We had a different co-host for a bit, then I was solo for a while, and now we're introducing, starting in December, a new co-host.
I knew that you guys were looking for a new co-host because a few people forwarded me the job listing.
Yeah.
And I laughed and said, you have listened to my podcast. If they do any background check, I'm not going to get that job.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're chaos adverse, although I try to push that as best I can. But yeah, no, I mean, we had a lot of applicants for that job. I think not just because it does pay well, but it's a great part of being part of your community in a lot of ways. And we are all over the place. We do stuff from, you know, food and culture to politics to just, you know,
do you have like a scope or a specialty or like a
Vegas,
an avenue?
Las Vegas is a specialty. We will talk about any component of Las Vegas that we could think of.
And then you particularly, you're just part of CityCast Las Vegas and you figure it all together?
Yeah. So it's a big team. Our executive producer, Sonia Cho Swanson. We have a lead producer, Layla Mohammed.
You know they're listening, so slow down and say their names. You know they're going to check this out.
Sonia Cho Swanson, the best executive producer.
There's Sonia.
Layla Muhammad.
Layla. Yes. Give it up for Layla.
Our newsletter editor is a guy well known to Vegas readers, a fellow named Scott Dickensheets.
Boo.
Oh, come on. How do you hate Scott? No one could hate Scott. He's the nicest fucking. Anyway, he does our newsletter that goes out every day.
We just thought we'd just spot hate.
Yeah, no, why not spot hate Scott? Well, Scott could take it. He's been around. No, he used to, in the 90s, he was at The Sun, and he's been at The Weekly and at The Desert Companion, and he writes about arts and culture. He's a good guy.
And so when you...
And then our new co-host, Sarah Lohman. I don't want to...
Sarah Lohman.
Hey,
yes. Sarah, we love her so much better than Scott.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Her. Doesn't take much, but she's great.
Yeah, she's
fantastic. She's a New York Times notable author.
Ooh, wow.
She writes about food history. But
so she's overqualified.
She's very
job,
she's extraordinarily overqualified. I mean, especially
the interview
to
was
me.
Like, Sarah, why are you slumming it up here? What's going on?
She's like, it pays good.
All right.
Yeah.
And so when other CityCast exists and you want to take some of the CityCast here, what do you look for first? Like, what do you think is definitive of our city versus other cities?
Well, we really just have two questions. Why this subject? Why now? Right.
Okay.
We're just looking for a time hook, something that's happening in Las Vegas. So, I mean, it could really be anything. We do like to do a lot of food episodes, like what's the latest things happening in the food community. And when we do get, like, politicians are willing to come on and we talk about what the pressing issues of the day are. So we've had...
And what they're going to eat.
And what they're going to eat.
Right.
Well, actually, it's funny because we had Jackie Rosen on, who I've known from my past. She's our United States Senator, and all she wanted to do was talk about my grandmother's three-bean casserole.
Okay.
So we did talk about that three-bean casserole.
Is that on the ballot?
Well, I will tell you this.
Because I believe in the Constitution, they only guarantee two beans.
Two beans.
And so they want to make sure we get the three beans.
If you could get that third bean.
Well, I mean, there was
in.
The two-and-a-half bean compromise back in the 1800s.
Well,
but
no,
I mean,
we don't like talking about that. It was a dark era.
Third bean every time. Then people started using lima beans for the half bean, which is really the size of a regular other bean.
That's right.
It was very controversial.
It wasn't a 3/5 bean casserole.
All welcome.
Thank
to
you
enjoy
for really it. Hitting that nail right on the head. I kind of alluded to it, but
we're fighting around
it.
But we actually, Scott ran the my grandma's recipe in the newsletter too. So
he
that was
did.
Kind of fun. Yeah, of course.
I was about to say in defense of our senator. It might be. Is it that amazing? It might be that amazing.
It's very vinegary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm down. I'm down to try. You know,
well, we have a lot of British listeners who will dive right into that.
Yes.
They love the vinegar.
No, grandma did her best.
They.
All
you
right.
heard me, British people.
You people.
Nice. So, yeah. So, we're just like kind of looking. We do a lot of hot topic stuff. So, we've done a bunch about the Sphere, about F1.
Mm.
We had Jonathan Jossel.
Where are you on the Sphere right now?
I'm enjoying all the international attention and reading all the stories about other people's takes of it.
I find like it's one of the first things people ask me about when I go talk to anyone who doesn't live here.
Immediately in the culture conversation of them.
Yes.
It was on Saturday Night Live. They made a reference a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I have people that I haven't spoken to in years that are writing
How's
me saying
sphere?
Like, what's up with the Sphere?
Have
also, how
yet?
Are you?
Have you gone yet? What's it like?
It's like, we don't do that here. Like, we live here. We go when we get comps.
Mm-hmm. They're going to sell it when it fails financially. They're going to sell it.
Yeah.
Right. I think that the, what is it called? The LVCVA? What's it called?
LVCVA, Convention and Visitors Authority.
Should buy it because it is basically just always capturing the zeitgeist of Vegas in global projection form.
It's so much better than the trucks that drive down the strip.
Yes.
Advertising strippers. Yeah. You got one spot to do it all.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, why aren't we advertising strippers on the Sphere?
Not yet. Just wait. Just a matter of time.
Yet.
Yeah. What we should do is do that. We should bring the Sphere up and down the strip. We should just put it on like drones maybe or something like that.
I will say we talked about the there's a writer from The Atlantic who had a really hot take on it, just saying that this is clearly based on a Ray Bradbury dystopic future story where the entertainment center eats the children. But the title, did you get the title of that piece?
No.
It was called Sphere and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Oh,
right there for
that's
everybody.
Pretty
yeah, there
yeah.
it is.
They was
there
hanging
is.
The whole time. I'm disappointed in us.
Low-hanging.
Yeah, I am too. I'm very, very disappointed in us.
This is the third most disappointed I've been in us today.
So when you say you've been reporting on the Sphere, what are you, because they put on YouTube and then they have a movie.
So we try to come up with cool angles. So we found a photojournalist whose shots became pretty well circulated for like Bloomberg, right? And her name's Their name is Michaela Whitmore.
Michaela Whitmore, everybody.
Michaela Whitmore. Yes. Gotta give it for Michaela. Amazing photojournalist. Anyway, they took a shot that became almost instantly iconic. And so we talked to them about where's the best angle to get that MSG sphere, or the sphere, whatever.
Okay.
Like, if you want to shoot it, and then, like, some pro tips. But then also, as a Las Vegas local, someone who grew up here, you know, what's your take on it? You know, you're out there shooting, and so she was talking about being on the rooftop, waiting for the right shot, you know, the aperture and all that stuff. So that was kind of a fun episode.
Does she agree that the roof of the Wynn parking garage, is that her spot?
She had a spot up on Howard Hughes in the complex over there.
Yeah.
Then immediately after that story
came out.
That's
like office buildings. Yeah, that's tougher, for the public to get to.
Well, they actually started charging to go up
hilarious.
In that area after the episode aired. So we apologized on our next episode to all the people who just got fucked over. Because,
how much was it?
It was like, went from $10 to $20 to get up there.
Okay. Yeah. I'm literally about to say, if it was 10 bucks, I actually don't, that's fine.
Yeah.
I actually think.
And then they doubled it.
Yeah, but then going to 20, it's like, now you want to be an actual attraction. You're an office building.
Right.
But we talk about, like, the bankruptcy and all the news that surrounds it. And, you know, we talked about the billionaire who owns it, Dolan, and he had some difficulties with, like, surveillance at the Madison Square Garden in New York.
Yes.
And he was basically targeting his enemies and wouldn't let him in the building to go see games and stuff.
Charles Oakley.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about the Charles Oakley thing. Yeah.
Famously, Charles Oakley was a very famous Knicks player and Bulls player or whatever. He talked shit to Dolan, and then Dolan wouldn't let him in the building.
Wild. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, so many passes, you guys know, go through Las Vegas. I mean, Las Vegas is, in a lot of ways, an epicenter of a lot of conversations. And so we try to tap into those and we have fun with it. Definitely.
Yeah.
What's the biggest thing you've been talking about lately? I just listened to one where you talked with the CEO over at the Plaza.
Yeah, I was
mentioning
that.
That's a recent one.
Yeah.
That was a very good one.
That was huge. That got a really big response because Jonathan Jossel, who's the CEO of Plaza Hotel, just told it like it is. He's like, F1. Great spectacle. Enjoyed the race. I went there. I sat in front of the Bellagio. I had the best time ever. Friggin' sucked for downtown. Worst weekend we've had in 4 years, he said.
Yeah it's I, you know, as I've said before on the show, F1, you know, this city is meant to host every event. It is not meant to host one event.
Yeah, that's the whole point. He had some really good suggestions on moving forward. He's like, look, by year 10, maybe they'll figure it out and we'll all be like, it was worth it.
Yeah,
but we got to do some things between now and then. So he was very honest, very frank, and a lot of people respond to that really well. That was a lot of fun. You know, traffic is always a frigging great topic.
Sure.
We've got this guy. Well, every now and again, Scott Robin will come on Vital Vegas, and, you know, he'll talk about whatever bullshit he's, like, talking about at the moment. And
it can be fun. I can't have more journalists talking shit about other journalists on this podcast.
I'm not talking shit about him. I enjoy Scott as a guest on my podcast. He is fantastic because he's also one of those guys that doesn't just give a care about what he says. He will go out there. And that makes for good listening, I think.
Yeah.
We had this guy named Ray Delahante. He's known as City Nerd. He's a traffic guy, like, but he's really funny and droll.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, basically... I said, Ray, what? Tell us about these boring tunnels, these Elon Musk Teslas driving under Las Vegas.
Right.
Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? And he goes, they have pretty lights.
All right, you heard it here first. CityCast breaking nationwide.
Pretty lights.
So he couldn't think of one nice thing to say about it other than it's got pretty lights. Mm. He's like, it's a white elephant for Las Vegas.
It is silly.
It's not in any conversation of actual
one
transportation.
Car at a time,
I keep forgetting about
30
it.
30 miles an too. Hour. Yeah. Not even 30 miles an hour. It's like 25 miles an hour, slowly and dangerously in a one-lane hole.
You know, I'm thinking about it right now. You know, it would be an
taxis
interesting
underground. What?
Yeah. An interesting solution to this. If you dug the tunnels and then you put some sort of like train system in those tunnels, like a subterranean trainway.
Yes. Wow. I think it should be called a Terranian train.
Oh, I like it.
Train.
I like it.
Terrain.
Terrain.
And just spell with more R's.
Yeah.
I say,
I like
fill
that.
It
the
with some kind of fluid and treat it. You learn how to hold your breath and just swim Use it as a swimming path.
I'm taking the abyss to work tonight.
I was going
to
say, what if we just use the abyss fluid?
Yeah, I'm thinking more Poseidon Adventure and just Shelley Winters.
Paul, you brought up last episode that Ed Harris won't talk about the abyss, and I read the blurb on that.
Yeah.
And they straight up needed to film a scene with him.
Yes!
With a helmet full of fluid.
Oh, Ed Harris?
Yeah. They had to have him hold his breath and then fill it with fluid. And then when he called for, made the signal for, money
out of here.
They took a minute.
Yeah.
They didn't get him out right away.
Oh, and they put the breathing apparatus on upside down. He was literally flailing.
They should have just used the breathable fluid. I don't know why they didn't just use the actual breathable fuid that they were discussing.
Why didn't the aliens help them sooner?
Right.
Cost cutting.
Was that just too pricey? What?
Cost cutting.
Yep. Probably.
It's always those bean counters keeping
people
drowning.
But the idea, because I have a very modest independent film career.
Uh-huh.
Career is the wrong word.
You're nude in a lot of it. I don't know if modest is the word.
A film appearance.
But one I had to drive, and they had to film me driving. And so it's just like, you think I'm working with this professional crew. They have to think of these things. And they put a light right where the speedometer and the thing on it so they could see my face. And so I had to drive with a light shining in my face.
Yeah.
And then they had comms in there and stuff like that. So I could communicate, but we're filming. I just had to drive and
they didn't stick you on a trailer.
Stop!
No, I drove on an actual truck with a light shining in my face.
No,
sounds safe.
Silly, very dangerous.
That's very dangerous.
Alec Baldwin on this film?
No.
I'm just safety first.
Yeah. But so when I read the thing about they just put a helmet full of fluid in there, you're like, oh, and that's things like it's you think people think about stuff and sometimes they don't.
That's the whole thing. And that's what we love talking about is that's an angle no one's talking about. I like that.
Yeah.
And this city has so many angles. Come on.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
Always.
It's a big business, which is always fun for people. A lot of competing entertainment. That's always fun for
people.
That's
it. We approach most of our Vegas talk through the entertainment lens. That's our first go-to, as all of us have been involved with Vegas entertainment in some form or fashion for many years. And that's our entry point. What would you?
I've been nipping around those edges for a long time too. I've been here for a while. And we do have, we had. I know you have a friend named Troy Hurd.
Yes, sure. We love Troy.
And we had Troy on, and it's like, Troy, explain the theater scene in this town. Why people should be interested in this, and he's so great. And just after 20 minutes, it's like anyone who heard that, if they've never been to a theater production in Las Vegas, they were going the next day. That's how good that was.
Mm-hmm. He's so great. Like, I was actually just sat in on Grace's Who Knows variety show the other night.
Yeah,
it was very funny because
Grace is a very accomplished clown and comedian in town.
And she's doing a variety show, and then I get there, and she's like, I get there at 10, the call. And not knowing much, she's like, doors open at 11:30.
Yeah.
Show will start at midnight.
Yeah.
I have you going on close to last because you're like a really polished act. And I was like, great.
I'm leaving.
I'm going to go home, sleep, and come back.
Yeah.
No, I actually did go to take a walk to stay up because man, this is going to be a lot. And then she called me. She's like, we're doing your tech. Where are you? And I was like, no, I'm literally walking around downtown.
Yeah.
Just trying to stay awake. And I laughed because I was like, I tour as a magician. Me going on after actually talented people and then doing magic for people at 1:30 in the morning.
Right.
Is maybe not ideal.
It's a real grab bag show. I love it. But it is hard. I mean, midnight start time in the old days. I'm not there.
I literally had to
be
up at 7:30 the next morning. And I was this is not my fave.
You could pregame at the new, Pirate Bar.
Oh yeah,
right around the corner. Yeah,
they have good food.
Where at?
The Pirate Bar, that none of us can think of the name of it.
Stray Pirate is the Pirate Bar.
Okay,
not the Pirate Bar I'm thinking of. I'm thinking
because I didn't see any food there. If you were eating food
I'm
there,
of a
that
different
might
pirate
not
bar.
Have
there
been,
are two pirate
cannibals.
Bars.
Cannibals.
No, there's a Pirate Bar that's right there next to Rebar.
Davies Locker.
That's it.
Yeah. I guess
that's more just loose nautical. That's loose nautical. That's not.
Listen how nice you guys are being.
Sorry.
Compromise
but
over here.
Confirm the food there is actually quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did the show and it was midnight, so it was show people who came out.
Yeah.
And then, it's Honeycomb, Yep. He's the beatboxer from Freestyle Love Supreme. Sure. That stayed in town after they closed.
Oh, that's nice.
And then their jam band, there's three people just doing improvised jamming. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. There's these great dancers that came out, and they did improvised dancing that was kick-ass. And it was probably, and I said to Grace, I said, it's probably the most racially diverse show I've ever done.
Yeah.
Like, it was authentically a total...
That's why you had to take a walk and really prepare yourself for that.
No, I mean, I'd say it all the time, like magic. I actually, this is what I said when I came on. I said, normally I perform magic either alone or in a lineup with other magicians. So it's very weird to go on to doing something fake that I'm doing.
Yeah.
After people who are actually talented.
Yeah.
And so magic in a grab bag environment is a mixed, it's because people don't feel like after seeing a bunch of awesome stuff like dancing and music and drumming and comedy bits to be like, now I'm going to pretend something's happening that isn't, you know, it's just, but I ended up doing well and it was fine. And it was fun.
You did fine.
Yeah, I did
fine. I'm sure there were hardly any booing.
No, very few.
Yeah.
One walkout.
Yeah.
But it's only because they just hated me from a previous incident. Nothing to do with my
It act. Was your dad.
It's my dad.
Yeah.
And I owe him money.
Yeah, I get it.
But I was just like, oh, it's just, but this is one of those things where like, it wouldn't, without Troy and the Majestic kind of always just giving people their shot, like these cool things wouldn't happen.
No. Right. Yeah. And I love that they pair up with a lot of the Spiegel World present and past folks.
Oh, yes.
And it's nice since they do stay in town as well, that they have a place to experiment and do fun stuff. And it's been going for a while. And, you know, Vegas is cyclical like that. You find these spots that you could see this sort of experimental. I mean, you guys have performed all over. Venues come and gone.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And it's fine. I don't think, Paul, you can speak up for me. I don't think we're why those venues closed, right?
I wasn't suggesting that.
We might have closed the Onyx.
Onyx. Oh, man. And it wasn't just whatever was wafting over from the green door?
Nope.
Okay, fair.
We might have closed the Scullery, even though we still had keys to the place, even after it was no longer the Scullery.
The first time I saw you guys perform was at the Scullery.
I love that venue.
That was a great space.
That was fine.
Yeah.
Good charcuterie.
That was it. The charcuterie was to die for.
Very rare to
come
have
for the comedy and stay for the charcuterie.
It's very rare to see a bunch of charcuterie plates out and about as you do comedy, but it did work.
Yeah, those were fun times.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's probably my favorite place that any of us have done anything.
We just need to open a charcuterie of our own. That's
because of your buddy Paul, Jeff Hobson stopped by. This is before I was even into magic. Jeff Hobson came by a bucket show and did a bit at the bucket show, which was super fun.
Yeah.
A famous magician.
Isn't that the beauty of Las Vegas, though, is that, you know, you could fit so many things into the weirdest and oddest spaces. And that happens so often. You'll see it just a one-off or whatever. I was putting some shows together not terribly long ago, and I had sort of my run of the El Cortez.
Yeah.
And didn't realize they had like an old ballroom that was there, so we were able to do shows there.
Jacob was just talking highly about the bathrooms there.
It's true. They're very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice company.
You know a guy named Puddles Pity Party?
Sure. Yeah. Right.
I just saw him here last week in so Pittsburgh. Fan. Yeah, he's great.
Right. One of his first shows out of Atlanta as Puddles, because Big Mike has a bunch of different characters that he had in rotation before Puddles really kind of took off. We had some mutual friends who were living in between Nashville and Atlanta, and he's like, can you find me some? And this was very early in his career, I think before his YouTube videos kind of blew up with the postmodern I'm like, well, let me talk to my people over at El Cortez. So he did like just the sloppiest fucking great karaoke / whatever show in the parlor, that little weird bar in the middle of El Cortez.
He's such an entertainer.
Yeah. And he just like trouncing through the El Cortez with his lantern and people having no frigging clue what was going on. But that happens all over. I mean,
it does.
For decades, stuff like that happens.
But that's the only thing about Vegas that gets tough is super alt or super hip does not work here at all.
Oh, it doesn't play. It doesn't make money, but it's so much fun.
But it's fun.
Yeah. Who's who's someone that you haven't been able to get yet? You want to do a podcast on and you haven't been able to get them yet.
Nick Cage.
Oh, yeah, because he's a resident, right? Most of the year?
He has six films that have a Vegas connection.
Yeah.
And I was like, we got to talk to him. What's his take on our city? I want to go through that. But no,
I saw
Nick
that that heist one he did a couple years ago. With
that one is so interesting with Tobey Maguire.
Yes, that was really good. Yeah. That was really good.
And I still think that the truffle pig one is secretly Vegas.
Oh, that one's a great one, too. So yeah. Pig is so good.
I think the best thing about the heist film was at some point, Nicolas Cage playing either like a CSI or a police officer, you never really are clear on what he does.
Yeah.
Goes undercover as a busboy at the Four Queens.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no dialogue. It's just this montage that goes on for a really long time of him like cleaning up tables and stuff as he's kind of figuring out where the bounty that they're trying to steal.
Right.
It was so weird a film.
And of course, the most unbelievable part of that is that anyone cleans up anything at the Four Queens. No one's part of that.
There's not been a bus boy here since '06.
1906.
That table ain't changed.
Paul, if you're willing to play Nick Cage, we could do David a favor.
Oh my God.
Help him drill.
You got it?
You know, we could help him prepare.
Now, my Nick Cage isn't the strongest, but I'll try.
All right.
Okay. All right. All right.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Cage coming up on City Castle. Las Vegas.
It's great. It's great to, great to finally be able to talk.
There you go. I was fooled, and I'm looking right at him.
Yeah. You're bailing already? You have Nick Cage right now. You can ask him anything.
Any questions?
No, it's all about my executive producer.
I'll tell you. I'll just volunteer straight up what I feel about Vegas.
Nick, let it roll, Nick. I'm just here to listen.
You know, Vegas is the character, so you just let Vegas be Vegas, and then I stand by and say cut or roll or Vegas or whatever, and it happens. Yeah, magic.
Nick, a couple of years ago, you were caught going in barefoot to some prime rib restaurant where you walked in on the couch and put your feet
that
up, and then they had to call the police. Do you want to address maybe what was going through your mind during the prime rib incident?
Have you ever experienced callus on leather? No finer feeling, my friend. And I've got couches at home, but there's something to another man's couch, you know what I mean? So that's why I did it. Yeah.
Nick, of all the places in the world you could live, why do you pick Vegas?
Well, for a time it was a 24/7 town, but now I can't even get my groceries at 3 a.m. So
what are you looking for at 3, Nick?
Well, my standard list was eggs, milk, pregnancy test. That was my 3. That was my go-to.
Perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
That's my Smith's order.
Yeah,
right on my phone.
I know that in the original Leaving Las Vegas, your character drank himself.
We're
to
going
death.
There? Okay.
Oh, but I've heard that you wrote a sequel. Is that true?
I did. It's called Never Leaving Las Vegas, and it's actually a zombie film. Me, my same character, he infects the homeless of Las Vegas sewers, and we all come up, and we rise, and we do our thing. Yeah,
I would say that
it's me.
TM.
Olivia Rodrigo. It's a real thing. It's going to happen. Give it a couple months.
That is our movie.
Elizabeth Shue as the wizard.
The wizard. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Only she has the cure.
Yeah.
Turns out it was still booze. Still booze.
Hunger Games. Hunger Games. How about it? Yeah.
I know that wasn't a great addition, but I wanted to get in on that trademark. So
yeah, I understand.
Good.
I understand. Yeah, yeah. So besides Nick Cage, anyone else?
I actually wanted to get Elvira on when she was promoting her book, because she has a whole Vegas chapter when she was a showgirl over at the Dunes.
Right. Yeah.
I just wanted to go through her day to day.
Yeah.
As you know, and she was 17 when she was doing that. Yeah. She lied about her age.
Yep.
And I read the book and I was like, this is really fascinating. I would love to get into it. We're unable to nail down Elvira.
Yeah,
I know multiple women in town that lied about their age in order to get into shows like the Follies Bergère, mm-hmm. when I was at the Tropicana, and older shows as well. And
my mother-in-law did just to be a dancer at the Copacabana in New York.
It has really made me realize that these club owners did not give a shit about how old their people
were. or their health safety or sexual harassment. Let's just get that straight. Yeah. Right.
I lied about my age once.
Yeah.
I lied about my age once and then kept working. Right. There's not like a continually tried to skate around the issue.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really kind of a weird, crazy, amazing thing. Although, I mean, I guess if you can lie about your age to fight in the world wars, like, fuck it, go up and dance on stage.
Well, that's the it's a Vegas tradition. And who's the Jenna Jameson, who famously got her start out here too. She went so far as to not only lie about her age, but she had her brother forcibly pliers off her braces so she could start dancing in the nightclubs out here.
Wow. Oh, that's made me so uncomfortable.
Matt hates teeth stuff.
Oh, I hate teeth stuff so bad. Oh, the idea of pliers near my teeth. I hate it so much.
Well, yeah, I've got bad news for you about our second segment today.
Oh, no.
She was dedicated. She was desperate to get up on that little darling's bar.
All right. Well, the American dream. Living the American dream.
Right. That's right,
brothers.
Yeah.
And you're a brother, right? He's like, all right, I will do this. I will take off your braces as your brother.
Yeah, I will undo thousands of dollars worth of orthodontia.
Can you think of a single... You have eight siblings.
I do.
Can you think of a single one of your siblings that would not plier things out of your mouth? Like, immediately.
Yeah,
no question. Like, hey, could you get this? Yep.
Why? Because I want to dance naked at a bar.
Yeah.
No quid pro quo necessary. No.
They might say no if you told them that.
No.
So, David, is there a big event or thing coming up on the horizon that you're, like, super jazzed about that's coming close? I know end of the year, there's all kinds of weird festivities, but...
Yeah, we got a lot of nice holiday programming, and we really try to help people figure just, you know, how to make the most out of their either visit to Las Vegas, but more so than that, just living day to day.
Is Vegas still considered a Christmas destination?
I think people come here for everything.
Right.
I mean, that was the whole thing about F1 is like, well, you know, the week before Thanksgiving is traditionally slow because no one will come to Las Vegas. It's almost like they said, you know, last year we made $1 billion in September, $1 billion in October, November we made zero.
Right.
And then December we made $1 billion. So we need this F1. I know people who come here. Well, you know, National Final Rodeo is around that time too.
Yes.
So people are, you know, look, we're still making over $1 billion. And I love how they call it the gaming win as opposed to the gambler loses.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, losses.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, today, gamblers lost $1 billion. It's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Are they okay?
But even, you know, today,
are they doing all right? Because I get the casinos are happy, but are there a lot of sad people out
I am
there?
Still, I've lived here for 16 years. I am still shocked every time somebody sits me down and explains to me how much a slot machine makes in like a week.
Sure. Wouldn't it be great? And here's another guest
like,
we want to have
get
on.
Like one. Can I just have a slot
machine? That's all you want. Well, that's really true.
Point.
We want to have on the superintendent of schools because he's always under fire, newsmaker. And we love having newsmakers on, and that's always fun. But if you had, like, in every casino, one slot machine that was dedicated, and it literally sat on top.
Just for schools. Oh, yeah.
Why don't they do something like that?
What? Well, why don't we?
I mean, I get they get a percentage
of general
taxes.
Do you think we can start, like, a
letter-writing
campaign or something? Like, I mean, seriously,
though. But what would the theme of, for the school's slot machine
be? It could be the smarter than a fifth grader theme.
I think it should. I think if you line up 49 in a row, because we're the 49th in schools, so we should have the 50 states, we can just do that. We can line that
something
up.
Something maybe a Dead Poets Society. Robin Williams being sticky. And also, you know,
but it's Wayne Newton.
But it's the
same speech.
Yeah.
Or it could be cannabis themed and call it higher education.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. It seems like we always pass stuff that says blank will go to education, and then I feel like it somehow doesn't happen.
Baseball field.
The cannabis.
We talked a lot about the A's too.
Of the cannabis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Laws seems like they're supposed to go to the schools and they don't.
The money's going there. It's just the question is, why are we still not thriving? And it could be because it's so big. It could be a million different things. I just don't know that we talk enough about it because it's always either, you know, who's in charge or how much money and no other real discussion than just about the quality of education or why.
Weirdly, the superintendent of schools won't come on this show. I don't know why. So I have to ask you this question. And that is,
Jacob, I'm willing to have Paul play the superintendent of schools if you want to practice answering questions.
Paul,
can you do a good Jara? You got that one well?
I think it's the same as Nick Cage.
It was going to be the same as Nick Cage.
Yeah.
I've been told that Nevada ranks so low because we're such a transient state, especially Vegas is a transient city.
Yeah.
And so when a child starts schooling in Vegas and then doesn't graduate high school, that counts
that
as like
stats.
An incomplete.
Yeah. And
is that true? Is there anything to that? Is that the big thing? What is that?
I'd imagine that's one of the metrics. I think we also have like an inordinately high population of kids who are homeless who are going to elementary school. So they're always moving around or middle school or high school. And that's something we don't talk a lot about. Like, where are these kids going to school? Because there are so many on the streets and they cycle in and out. It is heartbreaking, but it's important because if you're not figuring that out, you're not getting to the solutions. And I don't know. The thing about it's all these distractions. Have you ever watched the school board meeting lately in Las Vegas? That is high comedy.
Yes. That's always
the superintendent's accused of having a burner account where he goes after his enemies with like these weird misogynistic digs and shit.
Right, throwdowns.
And then so there was a.
And then the next week it turns out it was true.
Well, that's the thing. It's like there was like some social media account that went CSI on it, and then they like went through all of his tweets for like all this time and all the tweets for the what they called the burner account, and they were matching it up, and I mean it was really, they were going through it, and then
we found the same thing here locally with Matt Canada, believe it or not. He had taken out a pro Matt Canada Twitter feed before he got the sack. Yes, that guy was
that's the fired offensive coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes, fair. Yeah.
Who was fired midseason.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Paul is the biggest sports fan in the room.
I didn't make big mention of it last week, recording, but I do need to say, did you guys see the results of the first game back under new guidance?
You scored 16 points.
And 400 offensive yards as compared to like in the teens.
No. 16
points is not
16
high.
Points is bad. 16 points is not a lot of points.
It was not. Talking about the battle on the field. It was not
a resurgent story, Paul, no matter how you want to spin it. It just wasn't.
As someone with George Pickens on both my fantasy teams, it was not a resurgent story.
We'll talk when the season finale pops up or whatever they call it.
Oh, you want to bet on the Steelers winning some playoff games, Paul?
Yes,
because I'll take that bet.
Okay, you'll take my money.
We don't have to take this off air. I take the bet.
Yeah,
whatever the bet is.
Whatever you want to bet on the Steelers winning playoff games, bet accepted.
But yeah,
Kevin Durant admitted to having like three burner accounts. He didn't even have one. He had to rotate it.
But this is
and
the
two
kind
of
stuff.
Matt Canada.
But, like you said, this is all that a school board meeting is it's high school gossip, not anybody addressing any real problems, right?
Exactly. And then you inject these Moms for Liberty.
Oh my God! Did you see all the latest fallout on that?
Oh my God, that's amazing!
With something fun.
Did you see? There was something
perversion
fun, Matt.
To our kids, and then all of a sudden they're in the weird thruple where there's now sexual assault. God bless them all.
A real festival.
God bless
of
hypocrisy.
I'll tell you who else is in not weird thruples at all, just normal, everyday, very pleasant thruples, and that is the following sponsor.
Define a regular thruple. Jacob.
Oh, it's just a thruple where you have a nice regulator there just controlling the flow of oxygen.
Today's show is brought to you by ketchup flavored coffee shoes.
Ooh.
That's right. Ketchup flavored coffee shoes from Hojack.
Hey, everybody. Nick Cage here. Coming in, talking about coffee. You thirsty? I am. I'm thirsty for life, right? But I'm also thirsty for coffee. So I take off my shoe. I'm drinking coffee out of it because that's the new thing. But it's not got enough ketchup flavor for me. I'm infusing my shoes with ketchup and coffee. That's what's going on. Coffee-flavored ketchup shoes. Delicious. It's my new Gone in 60 Seconds coffee-flavored ketchup shoes. Guaranteed you can't drink it in more than a minute. You're so thirsty. You forgot about Gone in 60 Seconds? That was my star turn with Angelina Jolie.
At her Hayes Group's checkout.
Delicious. Caffeinated ketchup.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Oh, no, that was like the I think Gone in 60 Seconds, the Nick Cage one, was the first of the let's take a movie that bombed and remake it into a movie that also bombs.
Yeah.
Wicker Man.
Yeah,
that was on the list.
That
too.
Wasn't a bomb at the first one.
The first one was
cult
classic. Cult
classic.
And I don't mean like Nick Cage doing that, doing the movie that bombed.
You just mean
the movie that bombed.
Studios.
It kind of started a trend.
Well, I think it's an engineered failure kind of thing, right? At this point, now we're seeing how they're writing off movies whole cloth.
The write-offs.
Yeah, it's just this is what they do now. They just make movies and never show them and make $1 million.
Paul, because I have conversations with you that my phone listens to. I got a news alert the other day that apparently the Masters of the Universe movie is getting picked up by Netflix.
No, it lost its funding at Netflix. Amazon. Oh, okay. Amazon
there
is
you
talking
go.
About grabbing it now. Yes.
There we go.
Yes. Every time those news articles pop up in my on my phone, I think bad things about you.
Well, that's fine. You keep thinking bad things. Meanwhile, I'll be enjoying my brand new He-Man cartoon collection version from the Masters Universe Origin lines. Hitting store shelves now. Get it while it's hot. Get it while it's He-Man.
Get it while it's He-Man.
It's probably our episode title.
It is my birthday today. I've been getting lots of lovely
that's right.
Birthday,
He-Man.
Paul.
As we're recording,
yeah,
your
I've been getting all kinds of cool
dedication.
He-Man gifts and things through the interwebs and whatnot. Carl and Amy actually stopped by. Scoops, Carl and Amy, Dippin' Dot Jack's parental units, stopped by briefly on their way up to Michigan to go visit other Scoops, Christine and Brock. And they got to see the basement and hang out for a few minutes while they were on their way to their final
That reminds me, if you are a Patreon at any level, you are welcome to stop by Paul's house.
You know what? I'm going to put it out there. If you're a Patreon of $10 or more, you can stop by my house for 10 minutes.
Unannounced.
Not
That's
unannounced.
A minute. Unannounced. No,
but I will give you a 10-minute tour of my house if you are a $10 or more Patreon okay. and want to come
the 10
by
minute
my house.
Tour makes sense. The 10-minute limit was really weird because you have to like really get them in and like get to be very fast.
Yeah.
But
no,
if it's just
it's gonna be
tour.
It's, no, that's the limit because it could be too crazy.
At the end
minutes.
Of the tour, he just gives you the boot.
Yeah. And it has to you have to have been at that level for at least 6 months.
You should make it. Who the fuck's gonna check that?
Nobody's. You're not
Me.
Checking that.
You're
not Nobody's checking that.
I'll check.
You gonna
it.
Check that?
You're not checking that.
I'm out here making empty
I think
promises.
You make them take out their own phone. You have them put a 10-minute timer on it. They press start. And
yes.
Then you walk them around. As soon as the alarm goes off, they have to run out of the house.
That's right. That's right.
Release the hounds.
I mean, if they run out of the house, they might get
if
eaten
they stop
by one
to
of
pet
my dogs.
The dog, and another dog comes up, and you pet the other dog, and then boop, doesn't matter.
You're
timer
burning
goes
time.
Off,
you're burning time. It. Yeah, Adora will eat up 10 minutes of your time in no time. She is an attention-starved hound, that little pup.
Well, happy birthday, Paul.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Do you have any big plans?
We ordered pizza. Anne has to go to bed extremely early. So,
great.
Celebrate good times. Come on.
I'm going to fuck a pizza box.
Yeah. The last 2 days have basically been me indulging in Zelda for inordinate amounts of time. I hadn't had a chance to really get back into
what
Tears
the
of the Kingdom.
What the kids are calling
masturbation. Yeah. So, I mean, there's that too.
I'm indulging in Zelda.
But yeah, you know, some marathon, like 4 hour, 5 hour sessions of Zelda. It's good times. That's a birthday celebration for me.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Send that to, you know, 20-year-old Paul. Let him know what was happening 20 years ago.
He was playing 5 hour sessions. It was his Ocarina of Time when that's all it is. It's just the same shit, man. Ain't nothing changed but the tech, baby. Bigger TV, more comfortable couch. I'm okay with that.
Now, birthday pizza, I thought there was no good pizza near you.
No, it's Domino's. But, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But all
right.
It was a matter
birthday
of time
Paul
also.
Pizza.
I had Anne had a work emergency, so she had to go drive, and then Carl and Amy came up, and so we had to just schedule stuff around. So I just grabbed a quick bite, and then, yeah. So I've been losing weight, trying. It's working.
Yeah.
But I wanted to go not too crazy until my doctor's appointment, which is Wednesday.
Right.
For my hip surgery. So I don't want to break the bank yet. After that, we
break
might go out
bank.
For a might go out for a proper
break the bank.
Meal.
He's gonna eat all the canned
break
food.
Break the food bank. I'm gonna go in there.
He's gonna eat all the canned food that he would have given to the food bank otherwise.
I demand all your pumpkin pie filling now. Your out-of-date pumpkin pie filling will be mine. Oh, food bank glug.
Bite the side of the can like a vampire.
Oh, yeah. God.
Give me that.
Oh, speaking of pumpkin pie filling, Anne today goes, hey, as she's leaving to go and drop keys off at this far-flung Starbucks, she's like, hey, do me a favor. Carl and Amy are coming over. Could you please take the rotting pumpkin off the front porch? I'm like, first of all, I didn't buy the pumpkin. Second of all, I didn't know it was rotting. I go over and, you know, in Vegas, a pumpkin goes to hell.
It'll last.
No.
But not. No.
No, the desert is unforgiving.
Oh, the one that we put out kind of mummified.
Well,
oh,
okay. maybe if you don't cut into it.
Yeah.
Did you cut into it?
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, but
what are you doing over there, Jacob? You have weird zombie pumpkins.
Like, we really kind of scraped it out. Maybe that was it.
That might be it. If you really, I don't know. But
ours gets sad and dark with shit really fast.
This one had not been.
Yeah, the last ones we put out just mummified.
This one hadn't been cut in jack-o'-lantern style. It was just a solid pumpkin, but it had kind of melted, and it was basically the consistency of a balloon. It was the grossest thing I've ever. It was a heavy, heavy pumpkin balloon.
Heavy, smelly balloon.
It was.
And that's not your doctor talking to you. That's no. We're talking about
and
the
I was
pumpkin
like,
there.
Oh, this is awful. So I ran it back into the backyard and tossed it onto the compost heap. So with any luck, a little luck from nature, we might have some compost heap pumpkins next year.
What's the latest on the food scene? What have you reported on the food scene, David?
Let's see. We were talking about how you could blow an entire paycheck on.
I was really wondering
meal.
Where that sentence was going.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way,
figured out how you could blow an entire paycheck
on
the
one meal.
The expensive 138 Steakhouse in my neck of the woods that I went to with a rabbit carcass on display.
Yeah.
Went out of business.
Oh no.
Yeah.
You think the rabbit took him down?
So now I have to put rabbit carcass into Yelp, see what other place I can go to for the same experience.
Austin Pfeffer.
We are really liking what's going on in the arts district, obviously.
Yeah.
Things popping up all the time and just people really, you know, ramping up. Esther's is going to turn into
a giant location.
Yeah, I think 180
seats. Oh, that's good. That's a good spot.
The 90s heart me wants to call them a sellout and say the food won't be the same. But
they got another concept that's going in the old space, and then there's a French restaurant that's opening up. Main Street Provisions is amazing. There's a lot of good stuff that's happening. We often sing the praises of places like EDO. If you ever been there, oh, that tapas place. So I'm not going to say underrated because everyone who knows it's.
Yeah.
Probably one of the best restaurants in all Las Vegas.
Well, it's recently, like, officially rated. It was in the top 25 restaurants in the nation.
Yeah. So it was nice that we got to talk about it, and then they're finally getting some of the accolades that they so long deserve. So,
yeah,
that's a lot of fun.
Also, Martha Stewart's Bedford restaurant.
Oh, my wife is so desperate to go.
Because the whole house looks like a New York farmhouse.
We went.
It's a whole different aesthetic.
She can't wait. She loves it. She can't wait.
We got some coupes for that one. Players card stuff.
Okay.
And then
coupes was short for coupons.
Coupons.
Oh, I thought you were saying comps in a really weird way.
Oh, that would be a weird way to say comps. Yeah, I'm gonna try that.
I got coupe this dinner.
I thought the same thing.
I'm sorry. Oops. Misdirection. I'm gonna say this: the food was good. I don't know if it's a value for the amount of money that you'd have to normally spend, but the service was exemplary.
Oh, really?
They really took care of us. And I don't know if they figured out we were locals or what the story was. I mean, because
that matters, though. It's really
matters a lot.
They took care of business. We had trouble getting seated. There was like a mix up with the reservation or whatever. And then they're like, look, we're going to make it up for you. First round of appetizers is all on us. And then they sent over a round of drinks as well. I was like, you can't do that. That's old school Vegas service.
Yeah.
So that was
remarkable.
The food was good. It was really good. I just don't know if it's
the atmosphere
that level.
Is unique.
I mean, you're in the Paris.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which, you know, has
I've heard of it.
Its limitations. Now,
what is my biggest pet peeve in Vegas, especially like Vegas high-end dining, is when you go in, you're spending the money on it. You know, because, I mean, you can easily spend hundreds of dollars.
You can go thousands of dollars.
Yeah. In a lot of these high-end Vegas restaurants.
Tens of thousands. I just want to keep going.
Billions.
Tens of
come for F1. You spend $1 million for a burger.
Yeah. Oh. My biggest pet peeve, though, with Vegas fine dining is when you go in and it is that price point, but the meal is just, it's good, but it's just good.
Yeah.
What do you have any? Do you have any like that? You really kind of
the biggest disappointment? And I was probably the last man standing to celebrate the Circus Steakhouse, but it's lost me too.
Yeah,
like, just not a value on any level.
Fair enough.
What you're paying is just you're not getting something that's so you know. Go to Golden Steer. Go. A one few of
my old school Vegas friends still really just crow about the steakhouse at Circus.
I love Circus. I will still defend Circus. Yeah. I will die on the hill that Circus belongs as is forever. Everyone's like, when's it going to be imploded? And I will strap my body to the big top. But that steakhouse is not great.
Yeah. I mean, for years and years, it was the best steakhouse in town.
It was awesome. So, yeah,
we don't love
talking about the decline of stuff. We like talking about the ascension, but sometimes we'll get some good shit in there on the pod about, you know, that's place
sucks
now.
So we can't talk about the Rio then.
Well, I mean, we had a little, we were doing 1-star reviews the other day. Like we would, our executive producer, Sonia Jo Swanson, hooray. She would read us these 1-star reviews that were left on Yelp or Google, whatever, you know, and we'd have to, Sarah Lohman and I would guess like, what are they talking about?
Oh,
you know, and
that's a fun game.
That was really fun.
Can you have her do that for us?
Sure. She'll do that. No, it was a really good episode. And sometimes we have Corey Levithan come on and talk about Vegas myths, whether they're true or false.
Oh, Corey's great at those.
Yeah, Corey's great.
We love Corey.
So at the end, we're like, well, would you ever leave a 1-star in Vegas? And then our producer was like, well, you know, I'm going to get some. I don't want to give a 1-star to anyone. I would give 2 at a minimum, but Batista's just sucked.
Oh, no.
She went after it. She's like, I love the accordion guy going around. He's the best, but the food was just like Costco.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So they went
Arliss
after it.
Arliss is good for another 40 years. Fuck you.
Fuck you. We're
it turned out that
family.
All of those 1-star reviews were
we'll
from
never
from
not
Sonya.
Be.
Secretly,
ouch.
Best place to Uber to for F1.
Before
they close down the strip.
If you're going I
the
bet.
4 or 5.
I bet.
Slide into hole in the wall.
You can walk anywhere in
F1. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have fond memories of being a youngster going over there, but I haven't been back in a long time.
I was surprised how expensive it was. I found the Italian meal there because I snuck out there a couple times working for Piff during a long day.
Oh, sure.
I would go eat dinner at Batista's and go back. That was my idea of fresh air.
Yeah.
And if you sat at the bar, it was slightly cheaper.
There's no fresh air in that area.
Nope. There just isn't.
Was the stage doors right next to that over?
Yeah.
What is next? Yes.
Stage door weird thing.
That liquor store with the bar in the
liquor
back.
Liquor and hot dogs.
Shady.
Yeah, liquor and hot dogs.
Yep.
Vegas.
Liquor
Old
hot
Vegas.
Dogs.
Old Vegas.
But it was like if you want like the most stereotypical like atmosphere and Italian food, it was that.
Yeah.
But,
right. And she noted that atmosphere was great. Food was not her fave.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But that's fun to do, you know, and we try to explore all the different things, different kind of ethnic foods. We did a whole thing about the Ethiopian community and all the food restaurants and stuff like that. So you do get I know you guys are really super focused on entertainment here. And you do a great job talking about all.
Thank
the different
you.
People.
Thank
this
you.
Is why we brought him on.
No one does it better than ICS. I believe it says it in our jingle.
Yep.
We'll take the accolade.
And we dabble in all the different parts. So we'd love to have you guys come on and just talk about your the lens of Paul and Matt.
All right. Well
we're setting it up.
We'll talk to our agent. Jacob, should we do it?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going
to
do it.
All right. See, that's going to be exciting.
Good.
That's all for today here on CityCast Las Vegas. I enjoyed being on their show, and I'm looking forward to them coming on ours. The podcast revolution has hit our city, so make sure you tell a friend it's time for them to dive into podcast listening too. They could start with us. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our amazing morning newsletter. We'll be back Monday morning with more news from around the city. Till then, stay lucky.